Precious Chayesara describes the journey of Eliezer, trying to find a wife for Yitzchak, and the pasuk describes what Rivka's family offered Eliezer as part of his journey. The pasuk says, "Vayusam lefanav la'echol, vayomer la'ochal adam dibarti divarai, vayomer daber." So Rivka's family offered Eliezer some food, but Eliezer responded, "Lo ochal, I won't eat adam dibarti divarai until I say what I have to say." And then he was told to begin speaking. So why did Eliezer refrain from eating? Why did he say lo ochal adam dibarti divarai? So I saw in the Sefer Chavatzelas Hasharon that he quotes the Kedushas Levi on this pasuk, Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchov, who explains that because Eliezer was a shliach lekidushin, because Avraham sent Eliezer as a shliach for Yitzchak to be as a shliach to be mekadesh Yitzchak eventually to Rivka. So since Eliezer was a shliach lekidushin, and we know that a chasan does not eat until after kidushin because of the practice, the fast prior to kidushin. So therefore, Eliezer says lo ochal adam dibarti divardai. He says he's not going to eat until he says what he has to say, which the Kedushas Levi explains refers to the kiddushin that he's trying to accomplish on behalf of Yitzchak to Rivka. So I'm going to use this hopefully as a springboard to discuss the minhag, the practice, the fast on the Yom HaChuppah, the fast on the wedding day, and we're going to focus really on three questions. The first one pertains to the story itself. So what emerges from the Kedushas Levi's interpretation of the pasuk is that even a shliach lekiddushin, who's not the chasan himself, of course, he's the messenger of the chasan, but even though he's only the messenger and not the chasan himself, nonetheless he would fast as well. So why would it be the case that the practice, the fast on the Yom HaChuppah, would apply not only to a chasan but also to a shliach, even to a shliach lekiddushin? The second and more the broader question is, what exactly is the source for this practice to fast on the Yom HaChuppah, and what's the basis for the practice? Why is it that the chasan and kala fast on the day of their wedding? And thirdly, what exactly is the scope of the practice? To what degree is it applied, and what situations does it apply, and how, if at all, does that scope reflect on the basis of the practice itself? So let's get down to the core sources in terms of where this minhag comes from. So the Rama in Evan Ezer Simin Samach Aleph cites that there exists a minhag for a chasan and kala to fast on their wedding day. So this is cited in Shulchan Aruch in the Hagos of the Rama. And the source that's ascribed to the Rama's citation is a tshuva of the Maharam Mintz. The Maharam Mintz lived in the 15th century in Germany, Rav Moshe ben Rav Yitzchak Halevi Mintz. To the best of my knowledge, that's like the first kind of legal source for the minhag to fast on the wedding day, and that's really where much of the discussion stems from. So the Maharam Mintz in his tshuva, he references two reasons as to why chasan and kala would fast on their wedding day. The first one is that the wedding day is considered a yom slicha; it's considered a day of forgiveness of sins, akin to Yom HaKippurim, specifically for the chasan and the kala, because on the day that the chasan and kala get married, so their sins are forgiven, which already comes from a much earlier source in Chazal, in the Yerushalmi, in Maseches Bikurim, where the Yerushalmi says that a chasan is forgiven for his sins when he gets married. So since the wedding day, since the wedding day is considered like a Yom Slicha, again, because the chasan and kala are nimchalin avonoseihan on that day, so therefore it's considered like a Yom HaKippurim, and as such, the chasan and kala fast just as everyone else fasts on Yom Kippur. So the first basis for the minhag to fast on the wedding day is the comparison of the wedding day to a Yom Slicha, the Yom Achilas Avonos, a day that is akin to Yom HaKippurim. That's the first approach. The second basis, also cited in the Tshuva of Maharam Mintz, and later by many poskim, and both are cited in the Mishnah Berurah as well. So the second reason is that a chasan and kala should fast so that they are well-minded as opposed to intoxicated during the time of the kiddushin. We know that kiddushin requires das on the part of the chasan and the kala in order for it to take effect. There needs to be das kiddushin, das le kiddushin, meaning both chasan and kala need to intend to be engaged to one another. And apparently, we are very, very machmir to ensure that the requisite level of das exists. So much so that we guide the chasan and kala to fast just to make sure that no issues of chisaron das, no issues of lacking that awareness and cognizance during the time of kiddushin arise. So the second reason is that the chasan and kala should fast so that they are well-minded and that they have the proper awareness during the time of kiddushin. So those are really the two main reasons that are followed by many of the poskim. The truth is that I saw in the Matei Moshe that he quotes the Sefer HaRokeach, who brings a third reason for fasting on the day of the wedding, and that's due to the chavivos hamitzvah, which is interesting in and of itself. That because of the chavivos of the mitzvah of kiddushin or nisuin of chuppah, so we would say to fast as well. But really, the first two reasons that we spoke about, the first one being that the wedding day is considered like a Yom Slicha, akin to Yom HaKippurim, and the second one being in order to ensure and facilitate Das B'Kiddushin, those are really the two reasons, again, as we said before, that are the focus of the discussion of the posting. So let's discuss the relationship between these two reasons for the minhag to fast on the wedding day. So the Sefer HaMakna notes that actually these two reasons correspond to two different stages of marriage. This is a really interesting approach. Sefer HaMakna says that the concern for shichros, for intoxication, for a lack of das during the kiddushin, is really relevant to the kiddushin. The kiddushin is the part that needs the das on behalf of the on the part of the chasan and kala. While the idea of mechilas avonos, of forgiveness of sins, and comparing the wedding to Yom Kippur, that's really a function of nisuin. Nisuin is the time when the chasan and kala get married, and the marriage itself, in its most literal meaning, is what accounts for mechilas avonos. The engagement stage is not what accounts for mechilas avonos, but rather the marriage stage, the nisuin, is what accounts for that mechilas avonos. So says the Sefer HaMakna that these two reasons actually correspond to the two different stages of a Jewish marriage, the first one being kiddushin and the second one being the nisuin. And this leads to an interesting nafka mina, which is a case where we have a divide between kiddushin and nisuin. Of course, nowadays we combine kiddushin and nisuin all in one all part of one experience, but it used to be the case that kiddushin would sometimes be performed bishas shiduchin, when the couple was ready to be engaged, and then there would be a delay until the time of nisuin, until they would actually get married under a chuppah. So let's take a case where the kiddushin and the nisuin are split from each other. So what would be the proper procedure for fasting in that case? So the Sefer HaMakna has a fascinating approach. He says that if that's the case, that the kiddushin and the nisuin are split from one another, then the chasan and kala should fast prior to the kiddushin, because we want to ensure that there is das b'kiddushin. But once the kiddushin is performed, then they don't have to finish their fast. And therefore, he says that it would be a good idea to have the kiddushin earlier on in the morning, to have the kiddushin right away. And that way, you don't really have to fast for very long. You just have to fast before the kiddushin. Once the kiddushin transpires, then there's no longer any reason to fast. Then on the day of the wedding, a couple months later, so then they should fast again on that day, not because of a concern of shichros, not in order to facilitate the proper awareness for the kiddushin, but rather, as we said before, because nisuin is the day of nisuin is compared to a yom slicha, and therefore as a function of the mechilas avonos that happens on that day, so chasan and kala should fast once again. However, he adds a little caveat here, and that is that they should fast only up until the time that the chuppah approaches. Because once the chuppah starts to approach, then they should eat so that they don't go into the chuppah in a state of distress. Now, that would not be the case if the kiddushin and the nisuin were being performed at the same time. Because the whole point of fasting before the kiddushin is to ensure that there is the proper das before the kiddushin. So you can't start eating before the kiddushin is done. But the idea of fasting for the nisuin, which is really connected to the reason of mechilas avonos, so for that we can say that the chasan and kala could eat right before the chuppah so that they don't go into the chuppah in a state of distress. They would still be fulfilling the idea of fasting on their wedding day, even if they break their fast right before the chuppah. So that is the Sefer HaMakna's approach to the relationship between the two reasons and the possibility, the nafkamina, the practical consequence of having a divide between the two stages of marriage of kiddushin and nisuin. So now let's discuss some of the other practical ramifications of the two reasons given for the minhag to fast on the wedding day. The first one being Yom Slicha of Mechilas Avonos, and the second one being Chashash Shechros, And the ensuring that that both Chassan and Kala have the correct da'as for the Maisa Kiddushin. So one of the practical ramifications here is whether the fast should be completed until the conclusion of the day. Let's say that the chuppah takes place in the middle of the day. So would we ever say that the Chassan and Kala should continue to fast even after the chuppah is done? So the Beis Shmuel says that if the reason for the fast is a Yom Slicha, so that Yom Slicha pertains to the entirety of the day. And therefore, just because the chuppah has concluded, that wouldn't be a reason to pause to break the fast. And therefore, says the Beis Shmuel, that if the reason is the Yom Slicha, then the Chassan and Kala should be mashed on the fast. They should go until the end of the day. However, if the reason is Chashash Shechros, so the only purpose for the fast is ensuring that the Chassan and Kala have proper das for the Kiddushin. So once the Kiddushin is finished, then there's no longer a reason to fast, and therefore they wouldn't have to fast after the Chuppah takes place. We should note that the Prima Gadim says that even if the reason for the fast is a Yom Slicha, the Chassan and Kala still would not fast after the Chuppah, because once the Chuppah transpires, so then we've run into a whole new animal. After the Chuppah, then the Chassan and Kala are already celebrating their own Yontif. It's already started to be the week of Shavu Brachos. So once it's like a Yontif, then of course they can't fast. They can't fast on their personal Yontif. So that's what the Prima Gadim says, and I believe that's how we, of course, that's how we pass Malach Lamaisa, that the Chassan and Kala don't continue to fast after the chuppah. But it's interesting to note that the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Kuf Samach Beis says that because of this whole discussion, it's really proper for a chassan to stipulate prior to his fast that he's not going to complete it. So that's one practical ramification in terms of hashlama, should the fast be completed until the conclusion of the day. Another one is up until whether not only does the chassan have to fast, but does the kala have to fast as well. Until now, we've assumed that this fast applies both to the chassan and the kala, which, to the best of my knowledge, is what we apply nowadays halacha lamaisa. But it's an interesting discussion in the postgame whether this is really the case. So the Eshel Avraham Mipa Chach. So he says that actually, if the reason for the minhag to fast is the concept of mechilas avonos, that might only apply to a chassan, because we only find evidence for mechilas avonos applying to a chassan. However, if the reason is chashash shechros, the possibility or the need to ensure the proper amount of awareness during the Shas Kiddushin, so then of course that would apply to both the chassan and the kala. However, the Eshel Avraham Mibachach's assumption that the idea of mechilas avonos does not apply to the kala is highly contested. The Ilia Rabba says very clearly that idea does apply not only to the chassan but also to the kala, and the post can point out that the whole source for mechilas avonos applying to a wedding really comes from a pasuk that pertains to a kala, meaning the whole source for mechilas avonos comes not from the chassan but from the kala. So it's quite difficult to say that mechilas avonos is going to be limited to the chassan. So if that's the case, that mechilas avonos applies not only to the chassan but also to the kala, so then whichever way you look at it, whichever way you slice it, whether the reason is mechilas avonos or the reason is the chashash shichros, either way it's going to apply both to a chassan and a kala, and that explains why we apply it to both bismanas as well. And lastly, we can return to the first question that we asked, which is why would Eliezer, as a shliach lekiddushin, have to fast? So if one is a shliach lekiddushin, should he have to fast? So we have to test this against the background of both reasons. So the Magen Avraham says that if the reason for the fast is a yom slicha of mechilas avonos, then that applies specifically to the chassan and the kala, to the parties, to the people who are getting married. Not going to apply to a shliach. The shliach is not experiencing the stage of nisuin. He's just he's executing the maisa on behalf of the chassan or the kala, but he's not experiencing the kiddushin or the nisuin himself. So therefore, if the reason is a yom slicha, then it would not apply to a shliach the kiddushin. However, if the reason is chashash shichros, that we want to ensure the proper amount of das for kiddushin, so then that would certainly apply to the shliach the kiddushin, because the shliach is the person who's actually doing the Maisa Kiddushin. He's performing the Kiddushin. He's the person who needs to have the Das during the moment of Kiddushin. And therefore, we would apply the fast to the Shliach as well. So, of course, this is, going back to the Psukim and trying to just trying to understand the Kedushas Levi's comment here, but if the Kedushas Levi was saying that Eliezer, the servant of Avraham Avinu, would fast on the that would fast because he was the shliach leKedushin on behalf of Yitzchak, so maybe that would be that's an indication that you know, as so to speak, that Eliezer was passing like the reason of Chashash Shichros, and that's why he was fasting. As part of that's why he was fasting as part of that shliach, as part of that shlichus lekidushin. So, with the couple of minutes that we have remaining, I wanted to develop a little bit more about this idea that that the yom hachuppah, the day of the wedding, is considered like a yom slicha. So far, we've seen that that is one of the reasons why a chasan and kala would fast on the day of their wedding, because the day of their wedding is considered like their personal yom hakipurim, a day when their avonos are nimchalin, when they're forgiven for their sins. And the truth is that we find a lot of other evidence as well that the day of the wedding is considered like a yom slicha, very similar to Yom HaKippurim. The Kaf HaChaim explains that a chassan should be careful to go to the mikvah on the day of his wedding because of the tshuva that he's obligated to try to seek after on the day of his wedding. The Pesachei Tshuva says also as well that according to Minhag, the chassan should recite Vidui on the day of his wedding, just as he does on Yom Kippur. So what we have a lot of Minhagim that bespeak this connection between the day of the wedding and a day of tshuva, not only a day of tshuva, but the ultimate day of tshuva, the day of Yom HaKippurim. So we have the tainis, and we have going to the mikvah, we have the recitation of vidui. So what is the basis for this connection between marriage and tshuva, this connection between marriage and slicha and mechilas avonos? Why is it that we underscore this connection? So let's try to understand why it is that the chuppah, the Yom HaChuppah, the day of the wedding, is considered like a Yom Slichas Avonos. The Medrash Shmuel mentions that there are three people who are forgiven for their previous sins when they attain a new status. One of them is a Ger Shenisgayer. A Ger Shenisgayer is Kekatan Shenolad Dami, when a person converts. So it's almost like a rebirth in his or her life. The second one is Ha'ola Legdula, someone who attains a public position of leadership. And the third one is Hanosei Isha, a person who gets married. So what's the common denominator between all three of these people who are forgiven for their sins, again, upon their attainment of these new status, of these new statuses? So the Maharal explains that the common denominator here is that stage of rebirth. In a certain sense, each of these people really achieves kind of a new stage of existence. The convert, as we explained before, is Kekatan Shendola Dami, is a totally new and transformed person. The Ola Ligdula, the leader, transitions from living a private life to living a public life, from an individual plane to a communal plane, and that's a fundamental change in the way that he lives. And finally, the Chassan, according to the Maharal, transitions from being just a partial person to being a whole person, from being just an individual to being part of a unit. Through the marriage, the Maharal explains, the chassan and the kala become almost complete human beings. That's there's a kind of a new stage of life, a rebirth that happens upon their experience of marriage. And once this is the case, that all three of these people, that the common denominator between them is that they are experiencing a rebirth, so then it's very mistaber, it's sensible that there should be a forgiveness, a mechilas avonos, upon their new experiences. And why is that the case? Because the forgiveness is just a consequence of the new position that they're attaining. The person goes through a transformation, as we've said, a type of rebirth, and a natural consequence, a natural outcome of that rebirth is a forgiveness, because it's almost like they're starting a new stage of life. They have a clean slate with which to start this this new journey of theirs. So this would also explain why Rav Shlomo Kluger says that a chassan is dome lemelech. Why is a chassan, Rav Shlomo Kluger just explains why a chassan is dome lemelech. We have that in much earlier sources, but he explains that why is a chassan dome lemelech? Because just as a melech is forgiven for his sins upon his appointment, so too a chassan is forgiven for his sins. So why is it that the connection between a chassan and a melech specifically revolves around the mechilas avonos, around the fact that both are forgiven for their sins? So I think that this is another reflection of this idea that we're trying to develop, that both the chassan and the melech are forgiven for their sins because their forgiveness is just a consequence, it's a ramification, a natural outcome of the new positions that they attain. Both of them go through a fundamental change, both of them are about to start a fundamentally new stage of life, and as a ramification of that new stage, so they are forgiven for their sins again, because it's almost like a type of rebirth in the middle of their lives, so to speak. So once this is the case, so then we can understand that the wedding day, as reflected by the minhag to fast and so many other practices that we've mentioned, whether going to the mikvah, the recitation of vidui, the comparison between a chassan and a melech, all of these highlight that the chassan and the kala are to recognize that the fundamental transformation that they're about to experience, that they're transitioning from individuals to a complete and ultimate unit, and as such, the wedding day really is very much kiyom hakipurim, a yom slicha u'mechila savonos, as a reflection of that fundamental transformation that they undergo on that day. Wish everyone a great rest of the week and a great Shabbos.